gum, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my father. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome on into Wednesday, October 4th, 2023 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Text line is open, 231-360-5140. Please be relevant on topic to the conversation. Greatly appreciate that. Got a great show lined up for you today. In the next segment, Ask the Vet. Dr. Jeff from Sioux Animal Hospital will be in the house, so text me any questions you have for him. Changing of seasons, waiting for the first really cold first frost to kill off the ticks. That's one question I already have for him this morning. Horses, expanding the horse, I guess you would say service. That's the way to term it, because now he's actually coming out on Thursdays is farm day, and he's increasing the number of animals he's seeing, large animals, horses and cows, right there on the farm. We're going to talk about the new equipment that he has that he's going to be able to use, and also what we're looking at for this fall winter. Predictions are it's going to be brutally cold. We're not going to have one, but possibly two nor'easters. They're saying it's going to be minus 20, 25, 30 degrees temperatures, wind chills as cold as minus 50 to 60 degrees. Not one, but two of them. Prediction is January and one in February. So we're going to talk to Dr. Jeff about that, what you have to do with your animals to make sure they're going to be okay. Ottawa School Board had a special meeting last night. We're going to talk with Tim Tarjeff at the bottom of this half hour. He's going to come on the show and discuss his observation as to what happened there. And basically, this school board is being threatened. Teachers union, progressives from the public, with very little support from the community who got these folks elected, but aren't coming up to the school board meetings countering the radical left. They're organized. They are targeting these school board members. They're under a lot of pressure. And we're going to get a live field report from Tim Tarjeff, who made the trek from Sheboygan over to Onaway School Board last night. So we'll have that conversation. Also, I spoke with State Representative Neil Friske this morning and had communication with State Representative Josh Shriver's office. He's from the 66th District, the northeast corner of Oakland County, the northern tip of Macomb County, District 66. Romeo, Michigan, and Oxford are the two big cities down there, and we're going to talk to him as well. So, yeah, a lot of information, stories coming out of Lansing, bills they're going to be voting on this afternoon. You will not believe what they're going to vote on and approve out of the House today regarding motor voter registrations. This is Terry Lynn Land on steroids. Dave Agerman, if you're listening, you might decide to take Miss Barb out and go pick apples or do something. You may not want to hear this information, this part of the show today. We got a great show. Questions for Dr. Jeff's coming in the house. Text him to 231-360-5140. We'll be right back.
The Well Connect End of the Year Blowout Sale is here. A factory direct do-it-yourself install package is now available to our listeners. Call 231-420-8320 to find out how you can buy a Well Connect geothermal unit at a DIY discounted price. Install it yourself and qualify for a 30% federal income tax credit off your 2023 taxes. Additionally, you'll receive a cash rebate from your local electric co-op company. Well Connect uses your well water to do 80% to 90% of heating your home this winter, 100% air conditioning your home next summer, just by calling 231-420-8320. Again, save money, get a 30% federal income tax credit before the end of this year, and start saving money every month while enjoying total year-round comfort. Again, call 231-420-8320. Do it today.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
You've never seen the internet like this before. Blazing fast connection, symmetrical upload and download speeds, unlimited access, affordable rates, and no contracts. Delivered by your trusted local cooperative, Presque Electric and Gas Co-op. PIEG Connect will transform the way you live, work, and play in rural Michigan. There's fast internet, and then there's PIEG Connect. Show your interest at PIEGConnect.com.
Be a smart consumer this year. It's time for a new set of all-season tires. Or get a complete set of snow ice tires and winter wheels custom-sized to your vehicle. Bolt them on and store your summer tires and factory wheels for the winter. Stop by Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell Street in Petoskey and order yours today. Don't wait till everybody needs them. Stop into Royal Tire in Petoskey today and beat everyone else. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
I got you, Jeff.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Dr. Jeff is in the house from Sioux Animal Hospital up in Sioux St. Marie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, I apologize. I was trying to connect you in, and I kept calling the wrong number. I was calling the Sioux Animal Hospital channel because that's the last one I use for you. So,
yep.
Got to replace that. I got to replace that. Hey, Jeff, I want to talk to you a couple things.
Sure.
As we are heading into fall, winter, I know you said we have to wait for the first hard freeze that would kill off the ticks. I got a text message again from another listener this morning for you on that very point. There is a increase in ticks in their area. They have a swampy, marshy kind of a pond, half dried out, kind of mushy, marshy area. And why is it that ticks seem to thrive in that kind of ground conditions?
Well, it's not. Well, the ground conditions being wet sometimes can actually, as that the marsh, or as that vegetation or vegetative matter starts to decompose, it also generates heat too. Okay. As we know, when you know the yard freezes or we get snow, usually the one place where snow melts is usually over any wet spots you have.
Sure.
You know, so that'll help, you know, a little bit of heat will help too. Plus, they like to be in areas of long grass so that when they do what they call questing, so they'll actually climb up, sticks or plants or whatever, and then they get to the top and they kind of sit there and wave their arms about and just wait for some poor sucker to walk past, you know, so that they can latch a ride.
Right. So that's maybe... It's not necessarily the marsh area that's doing it. It's probably more higher grass areas that there's different type of vegetation that grows out there, but something that where the ticks actually climb and therefore sitting at the top. So when the dog runs through there, it grabs it right a hold of their belly.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So. Now let me ask now, because everybody, of course, we know about Lyme's disease and all that other stuff. What other things can ticks do to animals that you've seen in your many years of being a vet?
Oh, Lyme is just one disease. There's anaplasma and ehrlichiosis, which are two other diseases that we do have here in Michigan that yep. they do transmit. You also have a thing called tick paralysis. And this is a weird reaction to the dog to the saliva of the tick, because the tick produces an anticoagulant saliva, which is how they can keep feeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or else a little pinprick like that, our body would just, you know, clot the hole.
Right.
And they go like you think they blew a disc out. They can't move at all. And so that's one thing that we'll do. It's I've seen it a couple times. It doesn't happen very often. But then you go and you find the tick, and you pull the tick off, and the dog gets better. Like
gotcha.
12 hours later, they're up moving around like normal again, too.
It's literally that quick, eh?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I mean, you also read stories on my veterinary internets, webs, and things like that, sure. where a dog has been brought in to be euthanized because it can't walk anymore, and somebody go, oh, look, there's a tick. They pull the tick off, and it's like, give him a day, and then they come back the next day, and the dog's completely normal.
Normal again. Unbelievable. Yep. That fast of a reaction to it.
Yeah. But there's another one. It's called the Lone Star tick. And this tick is on its way up from down south.
Texas.
Yep. And then that. And, well, they call it Lone Star tick because it's just got one single white spot on its belly. But they carry a disease that I'm trying to remember the specific details, but all I know at the end of it, if you wind up getting this thing, you become allergic to red meat.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope. You Google it. The name is escaping me right now. But, yeah, if you get that, you will start having a reaction to some of the myoglobin and things like that are in found in red meat. And I'm like, oh, my, that would be where I'd rather get Lyme's disease, okay?
Right.
Than not being able to eat a steak again, you know?
Right, exactly. Now, of course, that's for both dogs and humans. And many yeah. times people, I had one buddy call me up and he said, you won't believe what happened. I said, what? He said, I was taking ticks off my dog and using a pair of tweezers.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, one of the ticks leaped onto him. He didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he came down with Lyme's disease.
Yep.
But he said the pain, the joint, the inflammation, he went on and on and on describing. He said, Randy, I was so bad. I was literally going to go to the hospital. I thought I was going to die from this thing.
Yeah. Yep.
How does that happen in humans? How long after a tick gets on you? How long after are you potentially going to start seeing? Is it a quick thing like with the dog you just described? You remove the tick, you're good. But, do we have a longer reaction period to it?
To the Lyme disease? Or,
yes.
I mean,
or to the ticks and any disease yeah. they bring into yeah. us.
I've never heard of a person having tick paralysis. I think that's pretty much a dog thing.
Dog thing, gotcha.
But as far as Lyme disease, usually when people get bit, first thing you're going to get is a reaction around the bite. So you're going to get that's the typical bullseye rash, okay,
right,
that they talk about. Doesn't right. always happen, okay? That's the first thing you're going to see usually in the first few days, first week or so of being that. But as far as how long after that, if you're going to get Lyme disease, are you going to see something? That varies. It can be very fast, where you get like an acute phase within 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know, you're starting to feel fluish, starting to have the signs and things like that. Sometimes these things, however, can take months to show up.
Wow.
And it's not only the joints. Lyme disease can also affect kidneys, and can affect just systems all over too.
Right. Got a text message. What about ticks in cats? Mm-hmm. Do you see that on a regular basis?
We do see it. Don't see it as often, primarily because cats groom. Okay. So a cat will go ahead and lick itself. There's a tick, they'll pull it off.
So they'll do it on their own.
Yeah, they'll kind of do it on their own. Unless it's up by the head or ear, or someplace where they can't get at. But, right. Plus, in the United States, too, which is a little unique, I think about 80% of our cats are indoor cats and don't go outside.
Right.
Compare that to, Europe or even to England or Great Britain.
Yep.
Where I think it's like 50-50 or indoor-outdoor, and people let their cats out in the garden and stuff like that a lot, too. And I was talking to one English vet at a meeting several years ago, and we were talking about this very same thing. And he's like, well, you guys, we let our cats out all the time. I go, yeah, but you don't have big predators like we do.
Right. Exactly. I got another text. Miss P over in Petoskey sent me a link to the CDC.gov website, Alpha Gal Syndrome on ticks. She said, I have a friend that has this. She can't have dairy. She can't have red meat or pork. The only thing she can eat is poultry.
Yep.
What the heck is that?
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's one of those whacked out things that just.
Alpha Gal. Is that correctly pronouncing that? G-A-L. Alpha Gal Syndrome.
Alpha Gal. Yeah.
Gal. Yeah. Alpha Gal. Okay.
Alpha Gal.
Now, one of the things that is happening as we head into fall, winter. You've been expanding the Sioux Animal Hospital services in many directions. You've created Farm Day, and then from this conference, you've acquired some additional equipment. What are you trying to do helping large animals, the horses and the cows and things like that? What are you providing now?
Well, right now we are still going into fall. We should make sure your horses, your teeth are done. So that they can process, because they're going to usually be coming off of pasture, going to start eating hay. It's a little drier, a little tougher. You want to make sure the teeth are good, so they can chew it up good. Other important thing going into fall is get some fecals checked. Make sure that you're not feeding more than just your horse this winter.
Right.
And in days of yore, and I was trained this too, they always taught us, you're going to deworm your horse. You do it every 4 to 6 weeks, and you rotate dewormers, never use the same one twice, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Well, come to find out, there's only like about 4 different classes of dewormer that you can use in a horse, or that are available to commercially available like that, Farm and Fleet or Tractor Supply Company.
Sure.
And even though you're rotating it, you're only using the same 4. It just took longer, but eventually the parasites are now becoming resistant to, or have become resistant to, those 4. Zermectin or ivermectin used to be the gold standard. It'd knock out anything.
Right.
And, not so much anymore. I see people, that will have skinny horses and da-da-da-da, and we'll run a fecal on them, and they're just loaded with worms. And the people are like, I don't understand it. I deworm every 4 weeks, and, I was like, they're resistant to it. So now the AAEP, which I'm a member, American Association of Equine Practitioners, is their recommendation is to not just deworm, but run fecals 2-3 times a year, bring in some manure, I don't need a whole bucket. I told one guy to bring in a manure sample. And I think he literally mucked the stall out.
Oh, no. 5-gallon bucket, eh?
Yeah. I only need about 3 or 4 road apples, or as my son calls them, vegetarian meatballs.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll check a fecal, find out, and we do what's called a quantitative fecal. We actually do a fecal count. We get a measurement. You have your high shed or low shed or mid shed, and based on what we're finding, then there's two things can happen. One, we can decide, okay, we do need to deworm this horse. We don't need to deworm, or we don't. What do we need to deworm with? And then even more importantly, a month later, we come back with another fecal, because the next question is, did the dewormer work?
Right.
Especially nowadays with resistance. And you got to do each horse individually, because when I had my prior horses, I had 4, and there was only one, all lived in the same pasture together. You know, okay. Ate the same, lived together. There was only one I ever had to deworm, because he just, for whatever reason, always had a high egg count. It was just, yeah. Which actually, in the end, our goal is to use less drug, because that one saves you money, because you're not given drug that either doesn't work or you don't need. Okay.
Sure.
And also better. It's better medicine, because we're not stimulating. It's like just arbitrarily taking antibiotics. That's kind of how, you know, sometime we could talk about this winter, you know, how does resistance develop, things like
right.
that.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just better medicine.
Yeah. Gotcha. One question. When we had Caitlin on with yeah. you a couple of weeks ago, a couple of listeners really enjoyed talking or hearing her talk with us. And they said, what's going on with Caitlin? Is she finishing up her final term? Yep. Is she coming back? What's going on with Caitlin? They really like her.
She is getting ready to start their clinical rotations. So she can see the goalpost to quit sitting in lecture class, which is my hardest
thing.
Part. I did it. I'm a hands-on guy. I don't like just sitting there listening. But she is going to be coming back to do her externship here for 3 weeks, because they kind of farm them out for part of that. So she's coming back here. So things are looking good. We're really excited to get her back.
Good. And once she does that, then how much longer before she becomes certified?
She will graduate, will be May of, because they do 18 months of the clinicals of the rotations, which start in January. So she will finish May 25. Yep.
Good for her. And she's still excited about coming back to the Sioux Animal Hospital and working with you?
Yep. So
that's great, because I've talked to vets, friends that know vets personally downstate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, why would you not want to move to northern Michigan? Get out of Royal Oak, you know? And
yeah.
It's like, oh, yep. Man. So, but still working on it for you, brother. And lastly, I want to put out the phone number. Please, folks, write this down. Text it to your wife. Store it in your phone. 906-635-5910. I had somebody on Saturday said, can you text me Dr. Jeff's number again? I'm like, okay, you guys got to store this in your phone. So, all right, man, we appreciate you very much, and keep serving the farms on Thursdays, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, bye.
Bottom of the hour news. We'll be right back.